with you for the past few weeks, off and on. And as Marty was sharing, my family and I, we served overseas in Northern Africa and Middle East, in Egypt and in Chad for about 16 years. And so it's always a pleasure. We never take this for granted to be able to worship in English and to be able to just hear songs that we grew up with and to be able to worship in that way. You know, it's interesting. There are dates throughout the year, numbered dates on the calendar that just have a feeling, don't they? They just kind of invoke some sort of a feeling that comes out. July the 4th, for example, that has a feeling. To me, it's hot. There's some fireworks going on. There's just a feeling that happens. Easter Sunday, that's a great feeling. Good Friday, a wonderful feeling, just of mourning. All these little things. Thanksgiving Day, that's a feeling that we have of turkey and maybe some football. December 24th, we just saw that last week. That was a feeling of Christ coming, of God sending His Son. And then, of course, December 25th, Christmas Day, God sending His Son, as I shared. And December 31st, that has a feeling, doesn't it? Growing up, I always saw the commercials coming on of like this old year or whatever. He is an old man and he was getting ready to die. And then all of a sudden, this new year is coming. And we have this feeling of okay, well, let's look back on what has happened in this past year. And then we're going to be looking forward to this new year. This new beginning is beginning to happen. And if you think about it, it's kind of funny, isn't it? It's just a day as any other day. We're going to go to sleep tonight and we're going to wake up as the Lord provides. You know, God willing, we will wake up and it'll be another day. But in our calendar, in our mind, this is a new beginning, something new. 2024 will be beginning. And I believe God has instilled these little days, these little things on the calendar for us to help us move through our year and to think through what God has done and what He's planning to do in the future. And so what we're going to do, I know all of you probably have some New Year's resolutions, and no matter what you think of it, I know some of you may be like, oh, I don't do the New Year's resolutions, and such a silly thing and kind of goofy, but deep down, I am sure there are several of you that have some New Year's resolutions. You're going to do something new this year. This year, I am going to go to the gym, you know, until February. But at least until January, I'm going to go to the gym every day. You know, I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to not spend so much time on my phone. I'm sure several of you have some of these things in your mind. 2024 is coming up. What do I want this to look like? What do I want this to feel? I have a friend in Concordia, a good friend of mine, and his New Year's resolution is he's going to take a cold shower every day. And the past 2 weeks, he's already been doing this. He's done it 3 days a week for 2 minutes each time, and he makes sure it's the coldest he can stand. And he jumps on in, and he says it's invigorating. He starts the day. He's great. And so this year, 2024, every single day, he's going to bump it up to 7 minutes in the cold shower, and he's going to take a cold shower. Honestly, I'd rather just have a hot cup of coffee. That's going to start my day great. So I don't know about you, but 2024, I'm going to get some more coffee. Well, what I'd like to do this morning, our passage this morning is Psalm 116, and I have in your bulletin verses 12 to 14, but we're actually going to look at the entire psalm of Psalm 116. This will give us a good full context. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 116. Psalm's right in the middle of the book. Verses 1. So what we're going to do this morning, what I want to do is walk through this psalm in view or in light of the new year of 2024. We're going to look at this psalm and remember what 2023 held and what God is planning to do in 2024. Who is our God and what is He about? And so as we're reading this and as you're thinking through and as I brought up these New Year's resolutions and maybe some of you even kind of jotted them down or thought through your mind, yeah, tomorrow is the first day I'm going to start this. So I want you to kind of think through as we read this psalm, as we go through it in view of New Year's. So starting with verse 1, let's stand as we read God's word. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. And gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, that it is in our language, that we can understand, that we can receive it. And so, Lord, this morning, open our hearts and our minds that we may receive your truth, that as we approach this new year, this 2024 season, this year, that you would go before us, that you would continually fill our cup, and that it would overflow. Lord, we thank you for being with us and never forsaking us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So, as we look at this psalm, I hope that you can feel the emotion that is coming through on this. We're seeing the psalmist remembering what God has done for him, and he walks in God's salvation. He actually says, I walk before the Lord in the land of the living, and he calls on the Lord for more grace, and he praises God. And that's what we're going to be looking at. First of all, I want to look at remembering what we once were. And this is kind of like looking at 2023, remembering what we once were. Look at all of these verses that actually talk about what we once were. Verse 3 actually starts off and it says, the snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress, and I suffered anguish. This is not just a physical or something, you know, I had a flat tire today. This is hard emotion. And it could be something physical, but we know that this is a spiritual that is connected to it. And the reason why I can say that this is also just not just a physical, but it is spiritual, is that in verse 4 he says, O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. So the psalmist is pouring out. He is just completely in anguish and in distress. And it could be physical, but he is praying for God to deliver his soul. He is in a spiritual, he knows that he is in spiritual darkness. In this point, he's remembering what he once was. Whether that is in 2023, whatever it was, he was once at the end of his rope. And you know, it's great. God sometimes brings us to the end of our rope to bring him to him, to bring us to him. He puts us at the end of the rope where we have nothing left. We are in this anguish and we are in despair and distress to bring us to him. I love every year I've trained our girls, even in Chad and in Egypt, to always watch It's a Wonderful Life. And every year we have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. And I don't know if I remember if we ever missed that, but I hope that you have seen that. It's a great movie, and I'm not going to go into that. It's very theologically correct. We're not going to go into theology about it, but there is a point in the movie at the end when George Banks is just in anguish and distress. George Banks, what am I saying? Bailey. George Bailey is in distress, and he's at a bar, and he is weeping. He is shaking. We watched it just the other night, and I commented to Jill, there are no more actors like Jimmy Stewart. I mean, that man could really make you feel what's going on. But he is in anguish, and he is in distress. And his words were, oh God, I am not a praying man, but help me. Deliver me. Deliver my soul. And when I see that, man, that is exactly what this psalmist is talking about. This is where I was. I was in this distress. I was in this anguish. The pangs of death were around me. My soul was in Sheol, was in hell, was just in torment. And in this case, in this movie, Jimmy Stewart is at the end of his rope. He is gone. He is done. So we're remembering what we once were. That brings us to when we look at 2023, when we look at where we once were, we remember what God has done. We begin to remember, wow, we have a great and mighty God. And all through this psalm, we can't just look, okay, yeah, he mentioned how great God is right here. And in the middle, he kind of mentioned, no, all through the psalm, he is remembering the great deeds of God. There were several moments in Chad and Egypt that were just kind of painful. And one of the things that we began doing was writing down on little pieces of little rocks, actually. And we would write down if we saw that God had done something great in our life. We would, as a family, we would say, oh, wow, you know, we got a flat tire, but we didn't have a wreck. Let's write that down in the rock. And we put those rocks in a jar. And then later on, when we were distressed, when we were anguished, when our soul felt crushed, we would pull one of those out and be reminded of God's great deeds. That is what this psalmist is doing. He says, this is where I once were. This is what God has done. And let's remember what he has done. Let's look at that. Verse 1, he starts right off and he said, God heard our voice for mercy. Verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. My pleas. He heard. A great God, our creator of the universe, heard my voice. I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, pray, deliver my soul. And he heard. Verse 2 says, he inclined his ear. This is even more of an intimate way of saying it. He didn't just hear, he inclined his ear, meaning he bent himself over to really understand what I was going through. He inclined his ear. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. Now he's talking about himself as being simple. The psalmist is just saying he preserved the simple. Someone that's shepherders or just the common man, he preserved. Verse 6 also, he saved me. Here we go back to of it that I believe this is a spiritual issue. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Verse 8, look at verse 8. He delivered his soul, he delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumblings. All of these things he delivered me out of. I was once in that place, and he delivered me out of that. Verse 10 and 11, I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. It doesn't actually say that that is a great deed of God, but I believe this psalmist right here is saying, that great God sustained my faith, kept it going, and caused me to continue to believe even when I was afflicted. In my affliction, I believed. And look what he says right after that. I believed, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, I said in my surprise, I actually said it. It came out of my mouth. All mankind are liars. Or in other words, my God is the true God. In other words, everyone else around me is against me, but I am still going to believe. That is not something that just comes naturally out of humans. That is not something that we're just born with. He is saying God came in and caused me and kept my belief steady and kept me going, even through my affliction. Verse 16, look at verse 16. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. My bonds, I was in anguish. You have loosened them. And our God has heard our voice and pleas for mercy. So we've seen this is such a great thing to do. As you are planning through 2023, remember what you once were. Remember where you were. And remember those great deeds of God. And if it's hard for you to remember, man, I just had a rough year. 2023 was worse for me than 2020. If you're thinking it was really bad, I can't think of these. You are sitting right now and there is breath in your lungs. That is a great deed of God. So if that's all you can write down, write it down. That is what God has done for me in 2023. Remember those great deeds. And the result of this is this psalmist's salvation. His salvation is brought from this. Look at right there at the beginning. He's calling to the Lord continually. Right there at the beginning, he says, therefore I will call, this is in verse 2, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. This is not just a Sunday salvation or I'm going to come to church on Sunday, but this is continually. This word right here is, I will keep on calling the rest of my life. This is what God has done. This is where I was, and I'm going to keep on calling him. Over and over and over, I'm going to call on the Lord for my pleas for mercy, continually. And what does that do to this psalmist in his life? Remember what he was before. Death was encompassing him. He was distressed. He was in anguish. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. And now he says in verse 9, we have really what I see as repentance. I will walk in the land of the living. I'm no longer in this pangs of death. I'm no longer, death is not just, you know, around me. I'm not in anguish. I'm not in pain. I'm going to walk in the land of the living. My walking, my whole walking in life is different. My life is different. It's not in secret. It's before the Lord. He actually, in verse 9, says, I will walk before the Lord. Meaning, I'm right in front of the Lord. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. My life is different. Not behind the shadows, with the lights off, or in secret, but it is out and plain. And here we also have a confession of just, this is what I once was, where he says, I will pay my vows, or I will open up my mouth. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Accountability. I'm taking accountability for what I have said I'm going to be. I'm going to walk in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to confess. Verse 17, the result of this salvation, of God saving this man, in verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So God has given him a thankful heart, where he is constantly thanking God for what he has done. Verse 7, we have a thankful heart. We're walking new. We're walking in the land of the living. We're continually calling out to the Lord. And another result of salvation, there is rest for my soul. Look at verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. What an amazing verse. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has done bountifully for you. Incredible turn of events, isn't it? How this man was in anguish. I love this verse, especially when I think of times of emotion in my own life, of anguish, of anxiousness, of finances, of my girl's schooling, or what's going to happen, and I'm in anguish and I'm in distress. And when I think of this, 2023 has seen some anguish and distress in my life, and I can go through there and I can say, yes, I was stressed. I was in anguish. And it is so good. It is so comforting for our soul to hear God's word say to us, return, O my soul, to your rest. Isn't that just peaceful? And I think of Matthew 11:28. If you just keep your finger on Psalm 116 there and flip over to Matthew. Matthew 11. This is the heart of our Lord. Jesus is God's Son, God in the flesh. And so here Christ is saying, here's what my heart is. Here is God's heart towards his people. 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And here it is, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. I'm not condemning and what you do that for of heart. I'm not good grief of heart. I am gentle and lowly of heart. This is our God, and this is him speaking. This is the essence of who he is. He is graceful, he is merciful, and he is saying, I am gentle and lowly. Come, and you will have rest for your soul. You know, it's interesting. The psalmist doesn't say anything about his circumstances changing. You know, I thank the Lord because the armies have left. I thank the Lord because now I live in a great house. I'm removed from everything else. And I think that's the other thing that I like about It's a Wonderful Life. You know, he goes through the whole situation. If you haven't seen it, I hope you have, but I'm giving it away right here. He comes back to his own town realizing that, you know, he needs to be thankful for what God has given him. And he still owes $8,000. That hasn't gone away. He still has wrecked his car. He still has Mr. Potter, who's a jerk. He still has, you know, this his drafty old house that he doesn't want to live in. He still lives in Bedford Falls, which he's wanted to move away from since he was a little boy. And he still has all of those circumstances. And this psalmist also has all of those circumstances around him. But his anguish is no longer there. The pangs of death, he has rest. And it's interesting, in It's a Wonderful Life, he goes through the whole town and is just elated. And he comes back into his house, and the people are said, "Hey, we're going to arrest you." And he said, "Isn't this wonderful? I'm going to jail. Arrest me. I can't believe it. I'm going to jail." That's what this produces. When we look at what we have become or what we were, and then we see the great deeds of God and what he has done, and he saves us and transforms us, we can't stop. We're like, "I got a flat tire? Yay!" That is exactly what happens. So his circumstances haven't changed. Return, O soul, to your rest. The other thing that is out here is his perspective. What has changed also? Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What was he saying earlier before? Death was around me. My soul was panging for death. It was in Sheol. And now he's saying, precious, precious is the death of the soul of saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the souls, of the saints. And I think of this is such a beautiful, a powerful, yet sobering verse. And I know death is sad. It is sad, an incredible turn of events that has happened here. I immediately think of all of the saints that have passed on. I think of Pastor Craig. I think of him standing here. And it's agonizing, it's painful. But that is what our great God has done. He has transformed something that was horrible, the worst thing for a human being to experience, and he's made it precious. That's exactly what Paul is talking about when he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Why? Because now I am with the Lord. And that's what the psalmist has done. He's been transformed. He's been renewed to the most worst thing in the world. Death itself has become a precious thing, a precious commodity, a precious thing that God has given him. So he says, okay, here's what God has done. Here's my salvation. This is my resolution. This is what I'm going to do. And we sometimes look at it's human nature for us to automatically say, well, thank you for the nice dinner. Thanks so much for having us over. Next time, we're going to have you over. That's our inclination as humans, isn't it? We want to repay that back. And when we really let it sink in of all the great benefits that God has done, we sometimes think, what can we do to make up for all of this? What do we do to repay God? How can we repay and rethink and just, wow, this is amazing. I want to repay what God has done. And so in verse 17, we have that right here. We have this question that comes out. Verse 17, is that what I had? No, sorry. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Honestly, I get a little bit nervous when I first read that. We can't offer anything to God, can we? In fact, Acts 17:25 says, God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. Can we actually offer anything to God? And the answer comes right after. He says, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. So I actually have a cup here. He says, I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And in our mind, we kind of think, well, is that kind of like cheers, a toast to God for all that he's done? Thank you, God. Is that what he's saying? That sounds right in a way, because our culture kind of puts into that word right there. When we were in Chad, we had some visitors come over, and we were out in the village, and a friend of mine, his name was John, sitting on the mat with us, and we had all these Chadians, and they were serving us tea and all kinds of food. And so the tea was being served, and you know, we were drinking tea, and I began talking to one of my friends, and you know, some time went by. And John leaned over to me and said, I don't think I can take one more cup of tea. It has been an hour and I haven't stopped drinking it. And I kind of laughed inside, and he said, I am wired. I am jittery. There is sugar running through my body and I cannot take another. Please tell them to stop giving me tea. And I kind of laughed inside and I said, well, John, they will give you tea for eternity. They will go bankrupt and go to the store and buy more tea continually until you take your cup and turn it over and say shukran, thank you. Until that is done, tea will be poured forever. That is what the psalmist is saying. He is saying, I'm offering my cup. I'm not turning it over. And I'm saying, more mercy, please. More grace. More salvation in my life. More grace, please. More mercy. I need more. God gets glory when we are continually calling upon him. When we are continually resting, and when we continually say, I can't do it, I need more tea, I need more grace, I need more mercy. So a couple takeaways, and then we'll close. First off, if you are not in Christ, this is a salvation message. Believe in the Son that has been sent. And the sobering fact is that death is not precious if you are not in Christ. It's actually damning. Renounce your dependence on yourself. And when you look at what you've done in 2023, turn to Christ. Repent and be baptized and return to Christ. And secondly, for all of those that are in Christ, rest in his salvation. For 2024, rest in what he has done and say, it is well with my soul. You know, this is one area where we can actually be lazy. We don't have to work for our salvation. Rest. And let's live our lives, walk in the land of the living. Let's live our lives in overflow of faith in him. resolutions, and I started with that, resolutions are great, but even the best resolutions can actually only drive us deeper into self-reliance. We can become like, look what I have done. But the essence of our salvation is renouncing ourselves. We are dying to ourselves. We're death to ourselves. And we are living for Christ. We are living in Christ. So let our resolutions be a completely reflecting on what he's done in 2023 and taking up our cup of salvation and asking him to fill it. Whatever those may be, let this be the grounding of it all. I'm going to go to the gym this week. So, God, I ask for you to fill my cup with your salvation. I ask that I cannot do this in my strength. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to not be on my phone. I ask that you fill me and give me the strength to do that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that you be with us in 2024, as we know that you are. You have said that you will never forsake us. Fill our cups. Lord, fill us. We need more mercy. We need more grace. And as we live our life, let that be an overflow of our faith and trust and resting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.